2 and reading at the first verse.
Yes, good morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Amen.
We're thinking in this series of sermons about covenant, one of the themes that we see running through the Bible, that God said, "I will be their God and they will be my people." Last week, Jim talked about joined up theology as he took us through the story of Jesus. So here's another bit of joined up theology. As we've already said, today is Pentecost Sunday. For the first century Jew, Pentecost was the 50th day after Passover. Actually, the 50th day after the first Sunday after Passover, but 50th day after Passover was the way they thought of it. It was an agricultural festival, the day when farmers brought the first sheaf of wheat from the crop and offered it to God, partly as a sign of gratitude and partly as a prayer that all the rest of the crop would also be safely gathered in. But for the Jew, Passover and Pentecost were far more than just agricultural festivals. They were a reminder of the great story of the Jewish people, the story of the Exodus from Egypt, when God fulfilled his promises to Abraham by rescuing his people from slavery. Passover was the night when the enslaved Israelites in Egypt sacrificed a lamb and smeared its blood on their doorposts and were saved from the avenging angel who slew the firstborn of the Egyptians. That very night they escaped from Egypt, passed through the Red Sea into the Sinai Desert. And then 50 days after that Passover night, they came to Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, God's instructions to his covenant people, the way of life by which they were to live and honor him and carry out his purposes. Fast forward what might be about 700 years, and in an upper room, we find 13 men gathering to celebrate the Passover. Jesus took the cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The covenant that God had made with Abraham and again throughout the Old Testament was now reiterated and fulfilled in what Jesus was about to do as he went to the cross. A new covenant was being established through the blood of Jesus. 50 days later, it was the Feast of Pentecost. And again, the disciples were together, and suddenly something happened. A sound of a rushing wind that filled the whole house where they were, and then what seemed to be tongues of fire coming to rest on each one of them, and they began to speak in different languages. What was happening? Some people thought they were drunk, but God was sending his Holy Spirit just as Jesus had promised that he would. So think of the Israelites coming out of Egypt on that first Passover night, coming to Mount Sinai 50 days later and receiving from God his instructions for how they were to live as his people. "This is how I want you to live," he was saying to them. And he gave them not just the Ten Commandments, but many instructions, many relating to the ways society should order itself, how they dealt with food, ways to keep themselves healthy and safe. But most of all was the number one commandment, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." It was restating the covenant that said, "I will be your God and you will be my people." And they said they would be obedient and faithful, but they didn't manage. Time after time, they turned to other gods. Time after time, they were faithless and let God down. The Old Testament is full of a cycle of God's people disobeying him, turning to false gods, to idols, then coming back to God in repentance, receiving forgiveness, trying again, and failing again. But God had promised he would do something new. The prophet Jeremiah spoke about a new covenant. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days," declares the Lord. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more." And so we come to this story in the book of Acts. 50 days after Passover, and now God gave not laws to follow, not 10 commandments written on tablets of stone, but a new way to live, the gift of the Holy Spirit, his law within us, written on our hearts. The Holy Spirit, who would enable people to obey him, who would live within the hearts of the people of God to bring the power they needed to be faithful to him. He has come to be our comforter, our guide, to reveal Jesus to us and to lead us into all righteousness. Here is God filling his people with his love and power, giving them, giving us, all they and we would need to obey him and to live as his faithful people, to live in the way that honors him. Tom Wright says this: the church is now in the position of the Israelites in the wilderness, led by God's Spirit, assured of adoption as God's children, walking resolutely away from slavery and towards their inheritance, suffering in the present but confident of the future, and the inheritance, as we discover in Paul's letter to the Romans, is not a single promised land, but the whole redeemed creation. And so let's pause as we sing, "There is a So what about us? The Holy Spirit came upon these disciples and changed them. But what about us? I doubt that any of us has experienced the sound of rushing wind or tongues of fire, but the same Holy Spirit has come into our lives. When we put our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he sends the Holy Spirit. All the people of God have within us the Holy Spirit, who is the gift of God to us. That is what Jesus promised. The Spirit has been described as the giving gift, the gift who continues to give to us. So what does he give? Well, firstly, he teaches us about Jesus and draws us closer to him. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he prays that God would strengthen them with power through his Spirit, so that Jesus would live in them through faith, and so that they would be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is Jesus' love for us. Do you want to draw closer to Jesus? The Holy Spirit will help you. That's what he does. Do you long to know more about Jesus' love for you? Do you sometimes struggle to believe that he really forgives you and that he loves even you? The Holy Spirit wants to help you to know this love of Jesus that surpasses knowledge. I said to the music group that we wouldn't sing my favorite old-fashioned Holy Spirit hymns, but I couldn't help quoting some of them. One of them says this: Spirit of God, descend upon my heart, wean it from earth, through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. The Holy Spirit works within us to change us. In the book of Galatians, we read a list of qualities, and they're qualities of character that sound really challenging. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we look at that list, I think we just feel how far short we fall, how often we must disappoint God because we're not patient or gentle, because we lack self-control, or whatever it is that our besetting sins might be. But these qualities, which are really a description of the character of Jesus, are called the fruit of the Spirit. As the plum tree in my garden produces plums, the life of the Holy Spirit in us produces this fruit. Because he is the Spirit of holiness, as we allow his life to have his way within us, he makes us more like Jesus. Increasingly, as we allow him to fill us and as we rely on him, we are changed to become more like Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. We're all too well aware of that. But even St. Paul struggled. And of course we have a responsibility too. But he works within us, working in us the desire to do what's right, as well as the ability to do it. He sets us free from trying to achieve Christ-likeness by our own self-effort. When we live by the Spirit, it becomes possible for us to turn away from wrong desires and to withstand temptation. We need to choose to rely on the Spirit of power, who gives us power to live the way God wants to. One of my other favorite old hymns says this: "Our blessed Redeemer, ere he breathed his tender last farewell, a guide, a comforter bequeathed with us to dwell, and every virtue we possess, and every victory won, and every thought of holiness are his alone." Thirdly, he helps us with prayer. We all struggle with prayer from time to time, even St. Paul. He said in Romans that in our weakness, we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. And I'm sure we all know that that is true at some times in our lives. But the Spirit intercedes for us and through us. He empowers our prayers. He takes our longings, our confused ramblings, the desires of our hearts and our problems and our worries, and he presents all of that to God. He's been described as the go-between God, the divine intercessor who lives in us, teaching us to pray and praying alongside us. And because he's God, it's like God in us praying to God in heaven, the Holy Spirit within us crying out to God the Father. All the nonsense of prayer that we sometimes bring, all the mess of prayer, the wandering minds, the ramblings, the confusions, and the longings presented by the Holy Spirit to God for us. He gives gifts to the people of God. There's a number of passages in the New Testament where there is a list of the gifts that have been given to the people of God, and they're called the gifts of the Spirit. And they include people like prophets and pastors and teachers. But they also include gifts of administration, the gift of helping others, the gift of hospitality. All Christians have been given one or more gifts and are called to use them to serve God and others. Many commentators think that even putting together all the lists in the Bible doesn't give you a list that's definitive, but just examples of the many and varied ways that God, in his love, gives gifts to us to use in service. We have all been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. We just need to find out what they are and then to use them. Peter writes, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would know the power of the Spirit and that they would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit has come into our lives when we became Christians, but we need to continue to let him to fill us with his power. Power to know the love of Christ. Power to grow into the people God created and saved us to be. Power to live godly lives. Power in prayer. Power to hope. Power to witness to others about our faith in Jesus. Yes, we have already received the Holy Spirit, but we're exhorted to go on being filled with the Spirit because we leak. And we are to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Is that not amazing? The measure of all the fullness of God, the God who is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Jesus promised that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit came. All of this and much more is ours in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tom Wright says, "The gift of the Spirit is the direct result of the ascension of Jesus. Because he is Lord of all, his energy, the power to be and do something quite new, is available through the Spirit to all who call on him, all who follow him, all who trust him." We celebrate Pentecost today, the day when God poured out his Holy Spirit on the church. And so be encouraged today. We're always so quick to put ourselves down, aren't we? Always so prone to see ourselves as not much good. But we have this gift, this incredible resource, the very life of God himself living within us. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through his Spirit who lives within us. I wonder what you might be struggling with today. God is closer to you than you can imagine. His Holy Spirit living within you, with all his power and might, with all his love and mercy and grace. We may be weak, but he is strong. We may feel unable to cope with what lies ahead of us, but he is more than able. We may get fed up with ourselves when we fail to live the way that honors God, but the Holy Spirit is within us to lead us to will and to do what pleases God, and he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen.